Chapter 22. My Father. It was all over now. My father and I stood alone just outside the workshop, and suddenly the old place seemed to become very quiet.
"Well, Danny," my father said, looking at me with those twinkly eyes of his. "That's that."
"It was fun, Dad."
"I know it was," he said.
"I really loved it," I said.
"So did I, Danny."
He placed one hand on my shoulder and we began walking slowly towards the caravan.
"Maybe we should lock the pumps and take a holiday for the rest of the day," he said.
"You mean not open up at all?"
"Why should we?" he said. "After all, it's Saturday, isn't it?"
"But we always stay open on Saturdays, Dad, and Sundays."
"Maybe it's time we didn't," he said. "We could do something else instead. Something more exciting?"
I waited, wondering what was coming next. When we reached the caravan, my father climbed the steps and sat down on the little outside platform. He allowed both his legs, the plaster one and the good one, to dangle over the edge. I climbed up and sat down beside him, with my feet on the steps of the ladder. It was a fine place to sit, the platform of the caravan. It was such a quiet, comfortable place to sit and talk and do nothing in pleasant weather. People with houses have a front porch or a terrace instead, with big chairs to lounge in, but I wouldn't have traded either of those for our wooden platform.
"I know a place about 3 miles away," my father said. "Over Cobbler's Hill and down the other side, where there's a small wood of larch trees. It's a very quiet place, and the stream runs right through it."
"The stream?" I said. He nodded and gave me another of his twinkly looks.
"It's full of trout," he said.
"Oh, could we?" I cried. "Could we go there, Dad?"
"Why not?" he said. "We could try tickling them the way Doc Spencer told us."
"Will you teach me?" I said.
"I haven't had much practice with trout," he told me. "Pheasants are more in my line, but we could always learn."
"Can we go now?" I asked, getting excited all over again.
"I thought we could just pop to the village first and buy the electric oven," he said. "You haven't forgotten about the electric oven, have you?"
"But Dad," I said, "that was when we thought we were going to have lots and lots of pheasants to roast."
"We've still got the two Doc gave us," he said.
"And with any luck, we'll have lots more of them as the weeks go by. It's time we had an oven anyway. Then we can roast things properly instead of heating up baked beans in a saucepan. We could have roasted pork one day, and then if we felt like it, we could have roasted leg of lamb the next time, or even roasted beef. Wouldn't you like that?"
"Yes," I said, "of course I would. And Dad, would you be able to make your favourite thing of all?"
"What's that?"
he asked. "Toad in the hole," I said.
"By golly," he cried, "that'll be the very first thing we'll make in our new oven. Toad in the hole. I'll make it in an enormous pan, the same as my old mum, with the Yorkshire pudding very crisp and raised up in huge bubbly mountains and the sausages nestling in between the mountains."
"Can we get it today, Dad? Will they deliver it at once?"
"They might, Danny. We'll have to see."
"Couldn't we order it now on the telephone?"
"We mustn't do that," my father said. "We must go personally to see Mr. Wheeler, and we must inspect all the different models with great care."
"All right," I said, "let's go." I was really steamed up now about getting an oven and being able to have toad in the hole and roasted pork and stuff like that. I couldn't wait. My father got to his feet.
"And when we've done that," he said, "we'll go off to the stream and see if we can't find some big rainbow trout. We could take sandwiches with us for lunch and eat them beside the stream. That will make a good day of it."
A few minutes later, the two of us were walking down the well-known road towards the village to buy the oven. My father's iron foot went clink, clink on the hard surface, and overhead some big black thunderclouds were moving slowly across the valley. "Dad," I said.
"Yes, my love."
"When we have our roasted pheasant supper with our new oven, do you think we could invite Dr. Spencer and Mrs. Spencer to eat it with us?"
Great heavens, my father cried. What a wonderful thought. What a beautiful idea. We'll give a dinner party in their honour.
The only thing is, I said, will there be enough room in the caravan for four people?
I think so, he said. Just.
But we've only got two chairs.
That's no problem, Danny. You and I can sit on boxes. There was a short silence. Then he said, but I'll tell you what we must have, and that's a tablecloth. We can't serve dinner to the doctor and his wife without a tablecloth.
But we don't have a tablecloth, Dad.
Don't you worry about it, my father said. We can use a sheet from one of our bunks. That's all a tablecloth is, a sort of sheet.
What about knives and forks? I asked.
How many do we have?
Just two knives, I said, and two forks. And those are all a bit dented.
We shall buy two more of each, my father said. We shall give our guests the new ones and use the old ones ourselves.
Good, I said. Lovely. I reached out and slid my hand into his. He folded his long fingers around my fist and held it tight, and we walked on towards the village, where soon the two of us would be inspecting all the different ovens with great care and talking to Mr. Wheeler personally about them. And after that, we would walk home again and make up some sandwiches for our lunch. And after that, we would set off with the sandwiches in our pockets, striding up over Cobbler's Hill and down the other side to the small wood of larch trees with the stream running through it. And after that, perhaps a big rainbow trout. And after that, there would be something else after that. And after that, ah yes, and something else again. Because what I'm trying to tell you, what I've been trying so hard to tell you all along, is simply that my father, without the slightest doubt, was the most marvellous and exciting father any boy ever had. The end.